Welcome to show 17. Wow. My name is Chris.
And I'm Hank.
And we are
My Mac Guys.
Hello, Henry.
Hi, Chris.
This is going to be an experiment in podcasting from My Mac Guys. We're going to call the show Open Folder because we really want to wing a show. We got a lot of odds and ends, things that really don't fall under a main theme. And we just thought we would surprise each other with some information and maybe not surprise each other, but talk about things that are on our minds, but don't necessarily constitute an entire program devoted to. An example would be, Henry.
Okay, hit me, baby.
All right, man. I have had an index card since the day that we started the show, and it says one thing on it. It says crashing the MTV network, and this is a true story. I was writing an animated series, very excited to go over to the MTV building on 26th in Santa Monica, you know, one of the hippest buildings you can work at. And I brought my trusty PowerBook with me. And one of the first things I said to one of the IT guys was that I would like to print the scripts that I was writing from my PowerBook. And she said, well, you know, you cannot connect to the network. And I politely nodded and said, well, thank you very much. I appreciate the information. And as soon as she left, I hacked my way in. I got it. I don't even know what the hell I did. I just found a way to get into their network and connect. And, you know, it didn't work the first time, but next thing you know, I saw that I could print. I would hit print, and the printer was at the other end of the room, and I'd go over, and my script was coming out. So I saw no problem with this. Now, you have to imagine that this is an office of about 150 people, and, you know, very, very busy place. Lots of different shows going on. Some of your favorites are there, VH1 Flashbacks and all these great shows. I start to notice that there are people hovering around the printer and backing up quite a bit. But I would go over and kind of cut through the line and look at the pile of papers, and there would be my script. So I would grab that and I'd go back to work.
You were attempting to print out an entire screenplay?
It was sketch comedy for cartoons.
I'll just slide my 200-page manuscript into the queue.
No, it was you know, sketches basically. Gotcha. They weren't very long. So, you know, I was making no connection to anything. Well, long story short is about a week goes by and suddenly I start to hear the dialogue in the background. Like, can you print? Is there something wrong with the printer? And I'm noticing it, but I'm not really I'm happily writing comedy, Michael Jackson sketches, every little thing. Well, finally I go to lunch one day, and when I come back, there are about 20 post-it notes on my PowerBook saying, call me now, from all different IT people. I mean, they just completely plastered my computer. And so I sheepishly pick up the phone. I'm like, hello, this is Chris. And they're like, have you connected your Mac to the network? And I was like, I'm not sure. Why would that have been a problem? And they were like, we have been troubleshooting the network in building D or wherever the hell I was working for the last week now. And it turns out, Chris, that it all comes back to your node or whatever, your terminal. And it's your OS X computer. The Unix was not working with their system, whatever it was. It turned out, literally.
Wow.
Literally, I'd taken down the 150 workplace. Like, wow. You know, I'm stumbling to say it. I crashed the network.
You crashed the network.
And they were pissed.
Of course they were.
Really pissed. And I just laugh about it now, thinking about it.
Wow.
And somehow my boss never found out about it. And actually, he's a good friend, so he wouldn't have given a shit. But
I mean, it scratches the surface of just, you know, I don't even pretend to be somebody that understands. You not long ago called me up and said, do you want to go with you on a tech call to implement a networking call? But it was under a different.
Is that the one where there was a System 9 computer and three OS X computers trying to talk at the same time? Was it the
No, it was a bigger one that was running a different. It was running Linux. That's what it was.
Oh,
it was a Linux job, and that's why
we walked
away from it. But
everybody walked away from it.
It made us think of, like, as long as we've known each other, we've had this issue of, like, just networking has never been, you know, it's your age old thing, and you have a really simple way of saying it of, like, there are certain things that the computer should just do for me.
Absolutely.
And, you know, all niceties aside, networking is one of them.
I thought it was writing scripts for me.
No. You know, it's like, it just doesn't, I don't understand. I think we touched on this on another show. I don't know, but it's just like you get what it goes through to get yourself on a network is just not what it should be. And it
should be invisible. It should be in the background. You put the plug in the back.
Right.
If I put an Ethernet cable in the back of a Mac, assuming that it's connected to something that has an internet port on it, are you telling me that they cannot make these devices talk to each other? I want it to be as simple as saying, I'm putting a phone in a phone jack. I pick it up. I want a dial tone.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
Period.
No, I agree.
Now, I realize that I might be ignorant saying that because it might be more complicated, but guess what? It won't be in 5 or 10 or 15 years. That's even long. Come on. 5 years.
Right.
Someone's going to make it plug and play.
Well, yeah. Well, no. You know what? I don't think that's right, because the point is that I don't think, like, if you look at the progression of just computers in general over the last 15 years, you know, there's a marked difference between, say, graphics and networking. And what I mean is that, you know, where graphics have gone because of the marketplace and because is you know, beyond imagination. I mean, it's like
right.
Every release of Photoshop just boggles the mind in terms of what you could do now.
Oh, you're going to start that debate again. Oh, please, Henry.
But networking hasn't, in the sense of I can still go to my system preferences and there's still something called a sharing folder, and there's still too much crap I got to kind of slag through in order to attempt to make a proper connection.
Don't leave it right behind, because I'm going to tell you now, I'm going to put out a major complaint to the software that's supposed to set up these airport expresses, these extensions to your Apple network. I'm telling you now that I'm up to the latest version of it, and it is hit or miss. It barely knows how to turn on and connect my other devices to the network. Now, I got it running today. I had already given up on it. For the last 2 days, I have not been able to get to this extra window, which I know to be the window that's really, truly making my wireless network one network. I don't know what the deal is. I'm not alone. I know a lot of people with that particular product that have a problem with.
You're not alone.
Steve.
I think the
dear Steve.
Something I would throw in there as a positive thing, just as a sideline, is you both have... I have read, and I know you, when I mentioned this to you before, you said you'd read it, that current paid members of .Mac, right,
yes,
can get, I think it's a 30-day free pass
T-Mobile
hotspot, which is, you know, God forbid you should go to a Starbucks as much as Chris Ragazzo does, but... For those of you like me who go to Pete's Coffee, don't have access to the T-Mobile hotspot network.
They don't have a T-Mobile there.
T-Mobile has a deal with Starbucks, and they're basically in every Starbucks has a T-Mobile wireless account. But they charge it, like, you know, the cheapest way. I've done it a couple times. You can spend, I think it's $4.95 for
24 hours.
Yeah, something like that. But, you know, which is okay if you just feel
I'll tell you when it comes in handy. When I literally had some projects due, and my network went down completely, I literally went to Starbucks to deliver work to the studio. In other words, I was up a creek, and Starbucks saved me. And it's across the street. I mean, come on.
Don't get me started on the Starbucks thing.
I know.
Link on my site called Starbucks Sucks, S-U-X.
Listen, I don't even like the coffee there. I mean, I'm a Pete's. You know, I'm a Pete's.
I didn't mean to put you on the
– I'm a Pete's man.
So anyway, 30-day free account for .Mac members. I don't even know how to take advantage of it, but I saw it listed, and that's kind of a cool thing.
You got to do it. I mean, 30
well, sure,
free
why
days.
Not?
I'm about to go on a trip tomorrow, and it's the first thing I'm going to do is sign up for it at the airport. So.
Copy that.
Henry, you got something? Because
Well, I just wanted to talk about – I mean, and again, it's hard to know what to – your dissatisfaction with – wireless bricks and setting up the network I felt simpatico about it in terms of my own disgruntled feelings towards searching for information on my computer.
Oh,
I just, you know, every release, there's always been a lot of talk about searches, and there was Sherlock, and then Sherlock went away, and then Sherlock came back, and it's like, I don't know why it's so complicated to figure it out. But basically, all I know is I knew I had it, so I brought, you know, a piece of shareware I bought 11 years ago that was, this is how important finding something on my computer was, that I was willing to spend £25 English.
Wow.
In 1994 for a piece of shareware, which was being touted as like an incredibly smart search engine.
And for £25, I want like an English professor to visit my house.
Exactly.
You know, help me search.
And, you know, that's how important it was, that because I just had tried every piece of shareware and the built-in search functions on the Apple just weren't up to snuff. And I just, to this day, it still doesn't work for me. And but, I know you, I don't know as much and I haven't seen the presentation on what's going to happen in Cheetah, but I think maybe there's some you know, gold outline on the horizon, and
there is, and it's called meta searching, and it's part of Cheetah, and basically it's beyond, it's redesigning the way every piece of information on your computer is tagged. I suppose is that, mm-hmm. in other words, everything is searchable, but at this incredible lightning speed. I mean, Steve Jobs was showing a demo of it, and he was searching some ridiculous database, you know, 200 gigs, and he would type in one word, and instantly the screen was filled with every possible combination of documents related to this search, whether it be the word Hank. And, you know, again, it's something you have to see, but not only the speed, but the choices, smart choices that were available in MetaSearch,
well, like, I mean,
were so much.
Right.
Clearly, they too, I think, know that what you're saying is true, is that search has never been
right.
up to the level it should be.
Well, I think, you know, particularly with what's happened with Google, you know, I mean, Google is astounding.
It is.
It's
yeah.
astounding. Every right. time, I mean, I don't even use, I just started looking at kind of their other offerings recently, and, you know, I had read a pitch on their mapping site, which is still in beta, but it says Google/maps, you
which
know?
Is great.
It's amazing.
It's awesome.
I'll
the
never
satellite
use,
view
I'll,
is
MapQuest,
everything.
Forget it. You know, MapQuest and the Microsoft one were the two that I kind of had bookmarked, and I won't use them anymore because speed alone is fine. They're beautiful. What, you know, the brainchild behind Google is not only that it be, you know, incredibly fast and instantaneous and clean and simple and minimalistic, but beautifully done. The graphics
beautifully
are beautiful.
Done. Absolutely.
So, you know, I sent you a link to just, I typed in your address and then I made a command shift 4 screen picture of something I learned on my Mac Guides podcast of that image and send it to you just to get
well,
your-
okay. And just so you know that I appreciated that, then that let me start to write an email. My sister's visiting my parents in Maryland. She's living in Brussels. So she's at my sister's house. I sent them an email with the house that we grew up in the Bronx, a satellite view of it for them to look at, along with each of their homes, satellite view,
wow.
and our house as well. And it's just a trippy thing to
it's
be able to see.
Yeah,
by the way, though, it
yeah,
is,
I mean,
it's a database, right? It's not a live view because they're all daylight pictures. And in my parents' case, the picture of their home wasn't actually built yet. You could literally see the construction of the site where they live on the Hudson River. So,
I have no idea how that works.
It's not up to date. In other
right.
words, it's
that's interesting.
That makes sense. And there's certain areas that you can't get a close view. Like
right.
I went to look in Taos, New Mexico to see if I can get my mother-in-law's house. And the closer view is not available. An overview is. So
right.
cities clearly have been mapped with much higher detail for obvious. I don't know if there are obvious reasons.
Well, good. Anyway, I think, I mean, the bottom line is I think Google has opened up Apple's eyes to the power of being able to retrieve your information, because all those files that I am so, you know, so incredibly fastidious about collecting and putting into the proper folders on my computer, you know,
you can't find, although
can't find them.
Now here, I will say what I say to somebody who's a client. If your search is not successful, it's you. That's my basic belief, is
mm-hmm.
that we're improperly using our memory to say, that's what I think I named the file. So what I try to tell people is one possible word, not two, no parentheses, no apostrophes. So in other words, if I'm looking for the recipe to chili con carne, I might just write carne. In other words, people tend to write more than they need to.
Right.
And that's what trips up the search. Now, smart searching would know, like Google often, if
right.
you misspell a word, it says, did Doesn't, you mean?
Yeah, right.
Okay, so why don't you just add that,
right.
dear Steve Jobs, to,
right.
you know, did you really mean this? But in other words, lots of times I'll add Chris to every single file that I know that I might someday want. And really, what does it boil down to? Files that you've created are tend to be the ones that I'm looking for. Maybe that's not true, but for me, certainly with writing documents, as long as I know. So anytime I need to look, I'll just write Chris. And yes, a long list will come up, but I'm pretty familiar with that list. And so then I can pick it out.
Okay.
Here's my little tip. Folders... going pretty good. I got a rant, man. I got a rant about battery life. Okay. I don't have a problem with batteries dying. I have a problem with you telling me that they're not going to die.
I didn't tell you anything.
Okay, it's true. You didn't do it. But, you know, the latest is that if you bought a PowerBook, I think they're up to 5 hours or 8 hours or some crazy number. And everybody who uses a PowerBook knows that you're good for about two, and maybe not the first week. But we're talking about after you've owned the computer for a couple of months. I go to a cafe every day. I'm using the same battery. And I'm telling you, I'm somewhere between an hour and maybe three if I have everything running low. And I think the problem is the expectation's greater because of this idea of what battery life, whether it be an iPod or most battery projections are insanely over projected. And I think it should be a square. Don't even put it up. Don't give me the battery life. Just say, here's a battery. Good luck.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean,
you don't seem to have any reaction to the battery issue.
I have,
and I'm going to take it to
have,
you.
No. I have one thing I want to say to you.
Yes, my friend.
Okay. You ready?
I am ready.
You really ready?
I wasn't really ready. Actually, give me a minute. I'm ready now.
I agree with you 100%.
That's a total surprise. Yeah.
I have nothing to add to it.
Can I ask you this? Because we've dropped hints that, you know, and I'm not going to tell anybody what you do because I've noticed that over the shows past, you'll say that I was working on a commercial or I was doing such and such. So, you know, I think like an ongoing gig would be for someone to guess what Henry really does because you've never actually said it, which is fine.
Okay.
But my point is professionally in the film business, you've mentioned that much, are batteries, is there any?
It's a huge issue.
I know, but I'm asking, is there any pro battery world that the consumer's not accessing at this point?
No, not at all.
And certainly in computers,
To the point where, you know, some of the when you really need to make sure that you have battery life to run a motion picture camera.
Right.
The batteries that you wind up using are basically the kind you put in a car. They're lead acid batteries, and they weigh about 75 pounds.
Right.
And they look like something that from the Russian military.
No kidding.
There's nothing cool about it. There's nothing sleek about it. There's no lithium involved.
Have you ever tried any of these either solar chargers or any of these packs that literally are the size of the computer? Have you ever bought anything like that?
No. I mean, I think, you know, I do believe that, you know, hydrogen... You know, what's it called?
Yeah, hydrogen cells.
Hydrogen
cell batteries.
Yeah, it's better. There's a more common term for it. I mean, I used to keep up on it because I even invested in a company that, you know, builds them and all that stuff.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that.
And it's, you know, they're starting to come out with prototypes. And I think, I can't remember that I read recently, this is in the last couple of months.
And they won't explode or something crazy.
Right.
Like that.
Yeah. And it basically was something for a cell phone. And it was the size of, you know, a regular cell phone battery. But it was, you know, the only thing that comes out of it is water at the end. And you could recharge, you could refill it. And it would last for like 2 months or something like that of constant use. You could leave your phone on 24 hours a day and it would work for 2 months. And it was working and, you know, they're going to roll them out within, you know, 6 or 8 months or something like that. So I think there will be a quantum shift of some nature fairly soon.
Right.
You know, I think that, because I think what you're, you know, my example of that is that, you know, I bought, when I got my Canon S45, which digital camera that I absolutely adore, you know, came with one battery. And I immediately went to eBay and bought, you know, a third party, you know, battery as my backup.
Right.
And, you know, there was only one company and there was literally thousands of them on eBay. And it's like, it worked. It lasted longer than the factory one for about 2 months. And then it completely stopped. It lasts about 2 minutes, literally. It powers down after about 2 minutes.
Right, cannot hold a charge.
It cannot hold a charge. And I'll just toss it. And it was really cheap.
Right.
But
that makes me think that's a refurb battery, like somebody buying
it. Yeah, who knows what it is. Right. But to me, it's like, it's all, it's a mixture of, I don't know why it's such a been such a clusterfuck, but it just right. has been.
And by the sorry, way, yeah, it's okay, Mrs. Ragazzo. But the thing is also, I think the new battery for this, I want to buy another one now because I'm about to go on location. And I think it's $180 for me to buy a battery for my computer.
Well, I do know
and
that.
I wouldn't mind $180, but not if it's going to die. There's a limited life to the cycle of a battery.
I mean, right, right.
You know, is that where you were going, actually?
No, I was going to say that the one thing I do know is that in terms of like the third-party laptop battery I have on my PowerBook Pismo is awesome compared to the one that came from Apple. And you know, there's two, New Power, and there's two or three places that make third party ones.
And I wonder if would third party make? I'll bet they make it for my G4.
Oh, of course they do.
So maybe I should go that
route. You definitely should not buy an Apple battery.
Oh, sorry,
I guarantee
Steve.
That.
Wow,
guarantee.
The word is out.
You know, and you can do it with the minimal amount of research. You'll find out who's selling the good batteries.
You know what we didn't set up, and maybe we have time to set up our interview, Man on the Street. You think we should go to that, Hank? Do we have enough time?
Sure. Well, now that you mention it, why not?
Well, okay, let's. I'm going to set this up a little. Hank and I were pretty psyched when we started the show, and we just wanted to make it as interesting as possible. And we found ourselves down at a local Pete's Coffee with a PowerBook and a microphone, and I guess we should just let it run. We wanted to know if people knew what podcasts were. Have you ever heard of podcasting?
No.
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 Not never heard of it.
No, sir. I have not heard of podcasting.
No, never. I don't know.
No.
No, I haven't.
Podcasting, no.
No.
No, it doesn't even sound interesting.
It sounds disgusting to me.
It sounds like a piece of shit to me. We remember the Tourette's Club, so we wouldn't have a...
Podcasting. Are you talking about metal or the...
Is podcasting have something to do with broadcasting? But it's like a person who's like a mongoloid or something like that.
Is this like you're trying to develop a sales angle or what?
I have no clue, so I'll just go with his answer.
I would guess that it. God, what is it? Podcasting.
There's no wrong answer.
I think it might have something to do with iPods, perhaps.
Wrong answer.
To do with iPods.
I just know I've heard of iPods. I mean, I just kind of related to that.
Only because of the word pod. And that's in casting through an iPod? I don't know.
I'm just thinking like a duplication of a person casting, like a couple of different people casting for the same thing, like duplication.
I was thinking of that movie, The Pods, you know, where they made...
So you're thinking Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Right, yeah. And so I was thinking of making a duplicate of something.
You realize I am a duplicate.
Yeah, so am I.
but we can't tell.
Basically, it's a special outside drive, right?
My guess would be broadcast on an iPod.
Podcast could be something... could be related to iPod, whatever. Apple, yes. iPod, the transmission to iPod, perhaps?
I have no idea.
I think you do.
You do? Really? Maybe some way, there's some way that you can transfer information from one pod to another in the same way that you can with, I'm completely blanking on.
You want to offer me for free? No?
No, I'm not offering you anything.
Oh, and it costs around about $10,000 or something. Okay. No? I'm from Germany.
Right. What part of Germany?
Northern part, Hamburg. I'm just living here for 3 months.
Okay.
Just to represent podcast, for instance.
Great, we appreciate that.
Our spokesperson just arrived.
Actually, the interview is vice versa. I just interviewed you. If you know what your subject is. Yeah, right. Thank you for the interview.
Nice to meet you.
If you want something from me in the way of answers, I'll give you challenges and answers.
Somehow, there's some way to transfer information from one pod to another, and that would be called podcasting.
Yeah, I would assume being here is something to do with casting, actors maybe, and pod. Yeah, I would venture to say iPod, probably.
Something to do with iPod and casting.
Well, I've been hearing so many good things about XM Satellite that this would have to be something that would really, like, kick that's ass, you know what I'm saying?
If it was something, especially if it was obscure and something that I was interested in, then of course I would, you know, I would be willing to download something, and why not, you know, especially if it's something unique.
Do you have an obscure interest?
Are you familiar with Kirtan?
I am not. Please tell me.
Kirtan is it's a form of bhakti yoga that they do. It's like singing prayer that the yogis do in India. So that could be labeled as an obscure interest.
And you might be starting that podcast, I think.
And I would be willing to.
I think it's you.
When I think of casting, though, I think of either casting a movie or I think of casting a sculpture.
So if you had thoughts or something you wanted to convey, you just posted on this site?
That's exactly right.
Now, what if you're a thoughtless motherfucker like I am?
That would be thoughtlessmotherfucker.com blogspot.
I think a great idea of that then would be if it's a downloadable thing that's pertinent to your what you want, you know, something that's important to you. So you could go and find anything on the internet, download it onto the podcasting or whatever, then yeah, sure, it's a good selling point, yeah.
If I went on this site then, I would be reading your stuff, or would I be playing it somehow?
You'd probably be listening to yourself in about a week and a half from now.
That was fun. That was fun to do.
That was fun to do, and I still, I mean, this goes back to the comment I made, I think, in the last show or two shows ago about, you know, these bogus numbers of like 6 million podcast listeners, and, you know, there's just fuzzy logic going on for some reason. And part of it's generated by the media, you know, that there's a bandwagon starting and there are, you know, there's currently almost 4,000 podcasts available from iPod or X. And it's like, and whether or not we have 25 listeners or 2,500 listeners, maybe one day we'll know, but I doubt it. And
well,
I just,
as you heard from that, a lot of people did not know what a podcast was, but
a lot of people,
was also a couple of weeks
a lot
ago.
Of people. A couple of weeks ago.
A couple of weeks ago, and what I'm saying is if your media blitz...
You think in a couple of weeks, those people have gone from not even knowing what the word podcast was listening to a podcast?
Not to listening, but to knowing what it was because of things like the media blitz, because Wired magazine has it on the front cover, and because then they all, like sheep, return the news.
Okay, are you listening?
You know, New York Times, LA Times, Washington Post. I mean, you know, they're picking up the same feed. And
I agree. But that is the fact that that's just this media juggernaut of like grabbing any information, whether it's, you know, O.J. Simpson or podcasting and just running with it because it just makes for selling newspapers.
Right.
And I don't, you know, I believe that 28 million people own iPods. Because that's a fact. I believe that there are 4,000 podcasts.
That is a fact.
But I know that from a little hardcore information. I mean, one thing I'd love to hear from people, because when people do email us in, I'd like to know how many people, up until a certain point, I was convinced and am convinced to a certain degree now that the only people that listen to podcasts are podcasters. The only people that are interested in podcasting are the people actually producing them. So it's like,
it's interesting you say that because we have received several emails from people who then also mentioned that they, you know, in the Mac Dad case, he had a website for podcasts and several did come in with podcasts.
Right. And I think there's a built-in harmony within the community of podcasting. And, you know, I'm mentally gearing up for my famous show that will be unveiled soon enough about the nature of, you know, the commercialization of narrowcasting, as I like to call it. But that's another subject matter.
And sticking with what we just did, what I loved about what we did was we took the time to go down and do man on the street interviews. And what I love about it, to me, it's all creative and all comes from the same place. What I found is by doing the podcast, it has opened up an explosion of creativity in me for other things as well. So if you ever find yourself stuck creatively, think you're a writer, you think you're a painter, try something else. And I got to tell you, it's all the same. Substance and it's the same high too, because I know you certainly felt it that day, which was like, this is cool as hell to be out here and do it. And people were very open, as you hear from the interview. They had just as much fun with us and they were fascinated by us doing it. So
I agree. I have a shareware pick, which kind of harkens back to my searching thing. It's something that I've used for a long time and love. It's called Web Confidential, and it basically is it's a storage house for all of your personal information: credit cards, websites, software passwords, bank accounts, all of that.
Doesn't it scare you to put all that in one place?
It's highly encrypted. It's got the highest level encryption. It's 128. You know, SS encryption level, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You can't hack into this thing. you know, I have some small issues with it, but I just need a place to put that stuff.
Because you just set off a bunch of hackers. Like, I'll get in.
I mean, you know, I just have everything. You know, every credit card in the last 10 years is actually logged in that thing. The weird part is that I don't delete them, so I now have this little mini database that's got literally hundreds.
Wow. Of listings. And what's your password?
But you know, it's for website passwords, it's indispensable. You know, because I don't know how everybody else works it, but it's like...
I use stickies. How stupid is that?
Stickies?
I use stickies. Okay, they're on my desktop.
That's really stupid.
I know. Yeah. I know.
I know. Anyway, Web Confidential. You can Google it. There'll be a link on our Blogspot.
Okay. Future story, how I got my computers back from thieves. Okay?
Coming up soon. On another show of My Mac Guys.
Well, we've passed the magic number.
Yeah, I know, and that we've tapered off. I think we hit the 27 mark, and we kind of went...
Okay. Well, listen, I had fun this week, and I love our new Pro Tools setup.
Yes, it's all working.
Everything's good.
Keep the mail, comments, suggestions, and please just...
Talk to us.
Talk to us.
We need to hear from you. All right, see you.
You've been listening to...
My Mac Guys.
My name is Henry.
And I'm Chris.
And all contact information can be had at one fantastic website, and that is mymacguys.blogspot.com. Keep a hold on.